And good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. Kyle High with you this morning. And joining us in studio today, we have Representative Jim Kelly. And, sir, good morning. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Kyle. I'm doing well this morning.
Well, it's good to have you in studio this morning. So we appreciate you coming in today. And we'll go over a few things here. But before we get to those subjects, just kind of your thoughts on the passing of Senator Bob Dole, who was he was a bigger-than-life senator and did a lot of great things for Kansas and the country as well.
Well, it was, you know, a sad day for Kansas, I think, to lose Bob Dole, but it's a happy day that we had Bob Dole for all of those years. And I had fortunate, I know a lot of other people did, a few years ago he was making his tours around Kansas, and he came to the Memorial Hall in Independence, and you saw online a lot of pictures coming up of people that got to talk to him and take a picture with him, and I did, and I have that up in my office in Topeka. And you know, the thing that I always admired about him was that, well, one, the disabilities he overcame from his war injuries, he continued charging forward. And the other thing was the fact that Bob Dole was a tough individual and gained a lot for Kansas and for other things in the country, but he was also someone that was willing to work across the aisle and try to make good things happen. I think he had a really great reputation for all the years doing that. When he ran for, you know, he made a couple of attempts at president, one actually winning the nomination once as vice president and all, and never did hit that goal that he had, but he stayed in there. And I think the Bob Dole type appears to be a dying breed right now, that you just don't have as much willingness for cooperation to try to get good things done. And those type of individuals should stand out, I think, as role models of how to try to conduct your business, whether it's government business or whether it's just individual business.
Absolutely. So again, he was a larger than life gentleman, and unfortunately passed away about a week and a half ago, I do believe. So, all right, well, sir, let's go ahead and get into the few things you wanted to talk about today. And one of those things you wanted to talk about was the overview of CAPERS.
Yeah, just not into great detail, but this past week we had the Joint Pensions Committee that meets yearly to hear a report from CAPERS on how things are going and, you know, some things that we may need to look at coming up. And, you know, one of the things that that may need to be looked at coming up is a way, particularly in the school systems, on, you know, where there is the shortage of teachers right now, a lot due to the pandemic, of ways that maybe we could temporarily relax some of the standards out there for teachers that have retired to come back to fill spots for a temporary period of time. So I think that could be looked at. The other thing, most notably, and I mean there are a lot of CAPERS retirees and a lot of CAPERS members in Montgomery County, and the biggest highlight, I think, is kind of the recovery financially of the CAPERS system. When I started in the legislature in 2011, I was assigned to the CAPERS committee and actually was have been on it, have been chairman of it over 10 years. 11th year, I moved to chair of a different committee, when I started, the funded ratio for CAPERS was about 58%, which put it at the second lowest in the country, behind Illinois. And the report that we had last Wednesday had the fund level has moved to just around 75%. And you want to be between 80 and 100, between 60 and 80. It's kind of the caution zone. So we've moved from below the caution zone up to within about 5 percentage points of being in the 80 to 100% level. So for those that are members, I mean, it's a positive move. People that are retired or have money in CAPRs, it is all really pretty much guaranteed because the money is locked in and it can't be taken out. But in order to keep going forward and do the earnings that you need to be able to keep at a safe level, we are in a position now that has been unheard of for decades. So I think that was the most positive thing that I took away, that some of the changes that have been made, some of the moves that have been made have put CAPRs in a much safer position. And that should make anybody that's a CAPRs retiree or future retiree to feel pretty good about the Kansas Public Employees Retirement System.
Absolutely. So again, that is kind of just the overview of CAPRs. Also, this past month, or Kansas, of course, exceeded their expectations of the tax revenues in the state. Just kind of your thoughts on that, because it seems like every month we're kind of exceeding those expectations. And so just kind of your thoughts on that.
Well, in November time frame, early in the month, the Consensus Revenue Group met and they revised their predictions for the income that will come in, and they moved it up substantially because of what we've been seeing and what the tax revenue and all has been like. But when the November end numbers came out, they had exceeded those expectations, those revised upward expectations, by just short of $10 million. So, even at the most optimistic right now, it's still above. And one of the big areas that it was above was in the sales tax revenue. Sales tax revenue continues to grow. The other positive thing is, you know, that Kansas made some changes on collecting sales tax on internet sales, those have generated another $12 or $13 million more than what they thought. So all of that put together, Kansas is exceeding the revised expectations, which is good and bad. I mean, the good part is we're now, you know, with about around $2 billion tucked away to the good. And for the last decade, we've been just struggling to meet the required ending balance and having to move things around to do that. Now there's a lot. So that's the good. The bad, you could say, is that when there's money, there's always lots of ideas how to spend it. So that will be one thing that could be a challenge to wisely put to work some of that excess money and not get to a position that it some years down the line you're back where you were.
Well, one question I did want to ask about that is that everything the state brings in, does it have to be spent, or is there kind of like a fund where it can be, the money can be tucked away just in case something, you know, in case we have a rainy day, or does everything have to be spent?
No, not everything has to be spent. And the better that you have a balance in a positive balance in the bank, the better off you are to be able to survive some of the emergencies and some of the things that could happen when there is not big infusions coming in from the federal government to assist, like with the COVID issues.
Absolutely. And then kind of concerning that as well, though, is there's been talk. It's really gained some legs over the past couple of months, actually, is maybe the elimination or just the lowering of the grocery tax in the state of Kansas.
Yeah, that has been an item of discussion for many of the years that I've been in Topeka. But as we were talking before we went on the air, it has gained some legs this year. Because both Governor Kelly and Republican hopeful for governor, Attorney General Derek Smith, have both come out in favor of it. Now, that's one of the things that I think that it will gain some legs, and there are some real positives to that. I mean, my personal feeling is that you probably ought to go about it in a in kind of a step environment. If you eliminate the sales tax completely, that's about $450 million a year. So if you look at if you did nothing else with the balance that we have in a period of about 4 years or so, you would be back to no money potentially. So, you know, some type of step program that takes it down, and if things are still good, take it down again and look at, you know, some states have gone all the way. Some states take some of the staple items like milk, meat, bread, those type of things, and take the tax off. And so I think a number of things will be looked at, but I think more than any year that I've been there, there's a potential to do that. And I personally hope, being more conservative as far as looking ahead, that if we attacked it over a period of time and made sure we were okay, that could be a good way to look at it, to get it down, but not impact other things that money needs to be spent on also, which involves our schools, which involves you know, the social services, mental health, all of those all take a lot of money, and all have increased their requirements, particularly like in the mental health area, and all have had a growing need for assistance.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and we got just a few minutes left here. And one of the last things you want to talk about is getting to, of course, we have the new Ike program that works with, has to do with road work. But we're getting to the final of the T-Works projects. And how long did those start? Was it about 10 years ago about or something like that?
Well, a little over 10 years ago, because we were delayed some with finishing out the T-Works program. And you know, one of the things when the Ike program came in, and Rich Prail from Parsons, who you also have on the show, I think, sometimes, mm-hmm. Rich was chairman of the House Transportation Committee, and he and I share an office in Topeka, and you know, his goal was we have to finish what we started before we get into some other things, because promises were made. Well, just in the last week or so, it's come out that the final projects in the T-Works, and I'd say they might be at about the 12-year level right now, are going to be put out to bid and finished. So that was a promise that was made, and it was the intention to keep it, and this will complete it. And then there's a pretty aggressive Ike projects in the pipeline, and you know, they're doing it, they're putting them in the pipeline, and they pull some out every year and do them and put new ones in and reevaluate them. And so I think And we were at a point that there is some big work that needs to be done on some of the highways around Kansas, and I think we're headed in a really good direction there for those of us that use the roads of Kansas to move around the state.
There's actually been some work done here in Montgomery County, just right before you get to Southtown, heading to Oklahoma here in Coffeyville. They redid that patch of road. There's a patch road redone there that was done very quickly, by the way. They got that done with a couple of weeks. So there's also some work in Caney as well. I think KDOT did collaborative work with ODOT as well in Oklahoma to kind of over there in Caney to. Because, you know, when you were coming out of Oklahoma, it would go down from four lanes to two lanes. We got to Caney. Now it's four lanes all the way into Caney now. So there was some collaborative work there between Oklahoma, the Oklahoma Department of Transportation and KDOT as well to get that done. And just there's been quite a few projects done here in Montgomery County, and probably will be some more put in the near future. But I do know that I was looking at some of the programs that were put in yesterday, a lot of it on US 169.
Yeah, 169 is turning into a good thoroughfare between the Kansas City area and Oklahoma. And one thing that could help, you know, Montgomery County in that area, I mean, we had the interchange project east of Independence that went in. Well, just a mile south and about a little less than a mile maybe east of there is where the Bartlett Green Project is going in. That's 200 trucks a day. And then FedEx is putting a distribution center in Independence, and that's 150 trucks a day going around that intersection on 169. So I think 169 down in Montgomery County could pick up, could jump up in the need for some improvements, making four lane more than it's done so far to connecting it down here to the industrial park in Coffeyville and connecting it on up to the north towards Chanute and Iola.
Absolutely. Well, sir, we're just pretty much out of time today. I appreciate you coming in and joining us today, and we will talk to you again here next month.
Yeah, Kyle, Merry Christmas to you, and a Happy New Year to you and all the listeners, and I appreciate the opportunity to visit with you every month, and I'll see you next year.
All right, exactly. You have a very Merry Christmas, sir.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we will have news. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF here on this Friday morning.